Welcome to the Wealth in Overdrive podcast, where we deliver you real life and proven financial strategies to help clear the fog you've been misled to believe about your retirement, investing, and personal finances from traditional financial planning. So if you're ready to grow real wealth with less risk, fewer taxes, and no fear of Wall Street, here's your host, nationwide speaker, elite consultant, and author, Phil Bodine and son Harry.
Hey guys, welcome to the new episode of the Wealth in Overdrive podcast. This is your host, Harry Luca, and co-host extraordinaire, Phil Bodine. How are we doing today, Phil?
Doing great. Glad to be a part.
Man, you're always just so happy to be in front of a camera, right?
Actually, very uncomfortable, but a new school, a new way. Yeah.
Talk around the country multiple times for many decades, and you throw a microphone in front of someone, it's a whole different appearance, right?
It's easier to talk in front of hundreds or thousands of people than it is for me to get on front of a camera.
Well, I appreciate you helping us out. I did want to, before we start into the podcast today, it sounds like you had another pretty progressive meeting with the book company of the day with your book that is coming out here in the next couple of months. Did you want to provide us a quick update on that, on expectations and how that's going?
Yeah, we're already through our... finished with our first edit. They're telling me we might go through two more edits, but we're through chapter 11 of the first edit of a 16-chapter book.
Nice. It's getting there. It's paying off.
Yes. Yes. Getting exciting. I'm seeing light at the end of the tunnel.
That's always good. Give you some motivation on that one. Yeah, whenever that book does come out, guys, don't worry. You will be notified immediately. Obviously, we'll bring it up on the podcast and review the book itself. So don't worry about missing out on that one. Primarily, it's been a long work in progress, taking about 30 years of knowledge, education, life lessons, learning, mistakes, and piled all into between two covers. So definitely looking forward to that one. In this podcast, what we wanted to hit primarily, though, is a really important slide that Phil hits on in the seminar that has been going around the country, like we mentioned here a couple of times. And it's always entitled what we class as the 8 unintended financial mistakes. And what we're going to have today is Phil basically break down all 8 of those. I think it's great insight to people, specifically when he breaks into that at the start of every seminar. Even no matter how well educated you feel you are, I think at least a couple of them definitely ring home and kind of make you realize that it's not as easy as it sounds. So, Phil, do you want to start us off with those and hit us off with number one and kind of the background of where this slide came from?
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks, Harry. I believe it was approximately 4 years ago. A financial advisor magazine reached out to me, wanted me to quote some material for a particular article that they were putting out, and it happens a lot. I would say 3 to 5 times a year, particular magazines will call me for a specific quote, and I found this one most interesting. Because when they called my office, they said they would only need 30 to 45 minutes to pick my brain. And lo and behold, we're in the interview, and the writer or editor stumbled across a question that he said, you know, Phil, of your over 30 years of experience, what is the most common financial mistakes that you see most people make? And I said, well, that's easy. Unfortunately, 3.5 hours later, we're still talking. So I'm going to break down what I shared with him, and I'm going to condense the list to what I believe are the top 8 things that I've seen over my years of experience. And these are unintended. I think majority of these mistakes are unintended, but for the most part, unavoidable, especially if you have, or they can be avoidable, especially if you have the right expertise or the knowledge or the education to steer clear of these mistakes. And so number one is very easy. Basically, what potential clients tell me they want and what they have are two totally different things. It's our experience when we have clients come into our office.
Don't worry about it, man. Just fly through.
Walk them through an assessment. And in that assessment, we find out what their values are and how they attach those to money. And so pretty much everyone has about the same desires. They want more freedom. They want more control. They want more liquidity. We want less exposure to risk. We want to travel. We want to vacation more. We want a better lifestyle. We want to own our own business. We want to pay less in tax. We want more balance in our life. But however, everything that they're participating in is basically the exact opposite of what they're telling me. They're basically positioning their money in places where they're locked up. For instance, a retirement plan or something like that that they don't have access to. They're not saving enough money. They're not doing the things that they need to be doing that coordinate with their values. That would be the first and foremost thing that I find with most people. Number two, I believe that most are unaware of their present position. And what I mean by that, everybody that comes into my office, they have stuff. I mean, they have their monies invested somewhere, whether it's a retirement plan, a stock portfolio, bond portfolio, real estate, multiple things. But they really don't have a financial inventory, meaning they have all this stuff, but it's what we call the junk drawer mentality. Everything is just scattered everywhere. There's really no structure. And in fact, what you don't know, you don't know. And one of the big concerns that most people have is this. You know, if something happened to my spouse, we really don't know where everything is at. They don't know their present position. And there's a difference between thinking and knowing what your present position is. And so I think it's very, very important that people have a financial inventory of everything and where it's positioned. Number three, most people lack a financial plan, a roadmap or blueprint, whatever you want to call it. If I could use an example here, Harry, of something that occurred here, just a perfect word picture, if you will. My wife and I, we built a guest house on our property. And one day I was looking out the window from our home and I was watching as people, the subcontractors and the general contractor had blueprints everywhere and they were planning, you know, how they were going to erect this building. And I thought to myself, how interesting would that be, you know, if the 12 guys that I saw on the job site didn't have the communication or a reference point or a blueprint in which order to build. And I think that comes back perfectly to the lack of, I couldn't even imagine them building that structure without a blueprint. But yet people are going through life. And I don't think that people plan to fail. They just fail to plan properly. And so I believe that people need a roadmap in order for them to get from plan A to plan B. And, you know, majority of the discussion that happens in our office is tell me about one of your goals that take money and planning to achieve. And so, and if we're going to give money assignments, we need to have a structure or the planning process or that blueprint to get us from A to B. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's a huge point.
So those are what I believe are the top three. Number four, and I believe people do this unknowingly. They're not saving and or investing enough money. And if I could give you an example of that, as you know, Harry, I have an office here in Sacramento, California, but I also have an office in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where born and raised. You know, if I were going to get into my car here in Sacramento, California, and drive to my office in Fort Wayne, Indiana, I'd probably have to stop at least six or seven times and refuel my car. Again, if I'm going to get from point A to point B, it's going to take fuel in order for me to get there. No matter what means of transportation, even if I get on a jet, it's going to take jet fuel to get to that desired destination. Well, I believe people unknowingly aren't putting enough fuel into their plan to make the plan work. And that in and of itself takes discipline. And I've noticed the difference between the haves and the have-nots are basically just discipline. And we subscribe to the 10, 15, 75 rule. We believe that people should give 10% of their money away to charitable causes. We also believe that people should invest 15 to 20% depending on their adjusted gross income. Now, if I'm working with a professional athlete and they're making millions, we believe you should be investing at least 50 to 60% of that income. And then the 75%, as long as you're accountable with that first 25% of income, blow the other 75%, because you know subconsciously in your mind, you're being a good steward with the 10 and the 15. But again, we find too many people spending money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't even like. And I believe that was quoted by Will Rogers, one of my favorite quotes. And, you know, they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And so we believe that people need more discipline when it comes to saving and in or investing money. Number five, we believe that white-collar individuals are still making blue-collar financial mistakes. And here we're talking about old school versus new school mentality. What I mean by old school, a lot of people are taught, you know, max out your contributions to your 401k and get a tax deduction. And then at the same time, I'm seeing them making extra house payments on their mortgage, reducing their tax deductions. And so it's like I see some individuals going down the highway of life, one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake. We're maximizing contributions to go into a 401k and creating a so-called tax deduction. We prefer that being a deferral. But at the same time, they're paying down their house, reducing their liquidity, reducing their tax deductions, reducing control, and doing the exact opposite of what they really intend on doing. And so I believe that people need to defeat yesterday's understanding of how money works and coordinate a better outcome. Because we always believe that strategy will outproduce a specific product. And so financial ignorance is not bliss when it comes to money. Number six, one of the other unintended mistakes that we see people make, they're unknowingly paying more taxes than they should. And, you know, if I can quote Judge Learned Hand, in America, there are two tax systems, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. Both are legal. And it comes back to, okay, you better know what game you're playing and who you're playing with, or you're going to lose the game. And the problem with financial planning in and of itself is the rule of game, the rules of the game are constantly changing. So it's very, very hard to plan. And so you're constantly updating, you're constantly reviewing, you're constantly going back to the plan and seeing if it adheres to today's tax code. Also, are basically a roadblock of something you're trying to achieve. And in fact, majority of people in America, and this is kind of sad to say, but I believe majority of the American people are paying more in income taxes over their lifetime than they'll ever save or invest for retirement. Number seven, they are unaware of their current risk exposure. I believe that most individuals we meet with, if you actually read the prospectus of the investments that you're invested in, you would run screaming. In actuality, you must understand this one thing. It's not the advisor that recommended that investment to you, nor is it the financial institution that's providing that investment for you. You're the one that's taking the risk. It's not the financial institution. It's not the financial advisor. You must take responsibility for that. And I believe if most people understood the current risk exposure they're currently undertaking in their current plan, they would not be pleased. And so I believe clients should be given full disclosure when it comes to risk. Last but not least, number eight, subconsciously, I believe that people procrastinate. I'll never forget the financial workshop that I hosted. Attendees will fill out a survey. And I read this one particular individual's survey. And he said that he wanted to meet with me in 3 to 4 years. And I thought to myself, you're going to procrastinate for 3 to 4 years before you receive financial advice. How many people drive their cars around with red engine lights on? And when that red engine light comes on, do you immediately take it to your mechanic, or do you wait 3 to 4 years? And this particular individual, I don't know how many red lights he has on. I'm certain he didn't know how many red lights he has on, but I'm certain he did. And he just chose to procrastinate 3 to 4 years into the future before doing anything about it. Another unintended mistake that most people make, they procrastinate. I mean, why do today what you can put off till tomorrow? And tomorrow leads to next month and next quarter and next year. And before you know it, you're in your 50s and they're coming into my office. My kids are 16 years old and I need to start saving for their college education. I mean, I'm an advisor, not a magician. And procrastination just doesn't mix well when it comes to building wealth into your future. The earlier you start, the better your start, the better the finish. So those are the eight most popular unintended mistakes or most common mistakes that people make that at least I'm aware of. I'm certain there's longer lists than this, but these are some of the most common mistakes that I see most people make.
Out of all those, what would you say is probably the most damaging?
Wow. Good question. Probably the most damaging is not saving and or investing enough money. They're just not putting enough fuel into their engine. And blindly going into the future thinking they're going to have enough. And then getting to the end result or the finish line and maybe in their late 50s, maybe I should go in and get an analysis done from a financial advisor. And by then it's too late. It's a combination of all of these, but probably the most damaging is not saving and or investing enough money.
Yeah.
Because really the difference between the haves and the have-nots is essentially discipline. I mean, I remember as my first 10 years in the business, I used to teach. I would go into junior high schools and I would teach junior achievement just once a month. And I'll never forget the question that I asked them. I said, "Hey, can I see a show of hands?" Now, keep in mind, these are seventh and eighth graders. "Can I see a show of hands of people, students in the class that could save $20 a month?" And believe it or not, I'm just curious if you're trying to guess in your mind what percentage of the classroom raised their hands. It was actually higher than I thought. It was like 60% of the room raised their hands and said, "Yes, we believe that we could invest $20 a month." Now, I don't know where they're getting that $20, but they said if they had that, they would discipline themselves to invest it. The next question is, well, why aren't you doing it?
Okay. Yeah. Do you know any of those kids nowadays to see where they're at right now?
I moved to the other side of the planet. I live out in California now, or what I call the left coast. So,
did you ever bump back into that? Did that guy who procrastinated for 4 years, did he ever reach back out to you?
He never did.
Never know how many lights he had on?
Yeah. I have no idea how many engine lights that were on his dashboard.
So you've been giving that seminar now for a long, long time. When you have people come in, or you could say just over these decades, out of those eight or nine unintended mistakes, on average, how many mistakes are people unintentionally making when they first meet you?
Out of those, what I would call top eight, they're at least exercising three to four of them.
Okay. And is it a pretty easy conversation to have with them, like what they are and how to break it down? I mean, people pretty realistic when it's brought to their attention.
Yeah, conversations do. They go really well. And sometimes they just look at themselves and they're like, "If we just would have known." And obviously I'd rather catch them earlier than later. But yeah, conversations go well. It's kind of like learning to ride a bike for the first time. They thought they knew how to ride a bike, but hey, let me show you a more efficient way to ride that bike. Let me show you a different, let me show you something that I believe that you're unaware of that could make a significant impact and bring significant value to your current plan. Because I believe that everybody has a plan, whether they know it or not, whether they're planning or not, they have a plan. They have a plan to get from A to B. And it's our job to get them C to D with no out-of-pocket costs, less risk, and pay less taxes. That's the ultimate.
That's the goal. What's your... And we'll wrap this up here shortly, but I think one of the big points you make within those unintended mistakes, one is kind of to do with not having a plan, or what they want to do isn't necessarily what they got going on. Over the last, I'm going to say, probably 5 or 6 years, you've seen a huge introduction of robo-advisors, social media influencers, these Robin Hoods, people, crypto. Do you find a lot of people do their own DIY research, put $100 here, $1,000 here, and then they come in, they've got like these 12 accounts, but they're almost like experimental accounts. No one's really putting that much effort into them, and money's being lost that way.
That's interesting you ask that question, because probably over the last 4 to 5 years, I see that more often, that people are dabbling, or what I call gambling in the marketplace. And I think because the market has cooperated with them over the last 4 to 5 years, they think they can do it on their own. Usually, and my suspicion is when something goes wrong, are they going to still call that robo-advisor or the 800 number to try and fix the mess that they're in? And so it really is important to have a relationship with a credentialed financial professional that knows what it is that client wants, what their desires are, what their dreams are, and they've created that roadmap or that blueprint together. I don't think you can do that in Robinhood or as a robo-advisor. I think people are deceived in believing that that could actually happen.
Yeah, with the markets where they are, like you said, it's kind of hard to fail unless you're really just throwing the dart at the dartboard almost. But, well, that brings us kind of this one, Phil. Any other things you want to, any gems you want to add to the end of this? Anything you think we missed out at all in any way?
No, I think that pretty much covers it for these particular topics.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate everyone hanging around with us during this podcast. If you are more than welcome to write a review, head over to Apple. We are pretty much everywhere now. We're on Stitcher, Amazon, Alexa, everywhere you can find us on the podcast itself. Feel free to share with friends that you know, like, and love, that you believe these podcasts can bring value and profits to their lives at the same time. From Phil and myself, we will see you in the next episode. Thank you.
This has been another episode of the Wealth and Overdrive podcast. For more information about taking your money into your control, visit www.philbodine.com/401k. Also, it would mean the world to us if you could hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with people you know and love.